and welcome to the Recovery Diaries. I'm your host, Rebecca Ellison, and I'm a fully qualified naturopathic nutritional therapist and wellness coach. And I aim to give women their power back. I believe the key to optimal health is incorporating the holistic model, which is food, healing, mindset, detox, values, and stepping into our purpose to build an abundant life. Join me as I interview amazing women who've been on their own health journeys, because I believe this is truly possible. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Recovery Diaries. This week is another solo episode with me and Fudge. Fudge is here. I've got my nettle tea and I am excited to chat. Today I'm going to talk about motherhood and birth, and this was one of the most requested solo episodes that people voted on. So I decided that I will just kind of go through kind of before I got pregnant, and then the things that I was looking at during pregnancy, and then birth, and then kind of go, I was like, maybe these need to be separated into different podcasts. And then going into weaning and routine and what I personally feel is really important for children and to have a healthy nervous system and healthy digestion and all of those kind of good things. So I guess I'll start with when I found out I was pregnant. Okay, so I found out I was pregnant, and then obviously the first thing that I was concerned about was Lyme disease, because you can pass it through to your baby. And I hadn't pre-tested first because he was maybe a little bit early. And so I was very concerned about that. But when I am supporting my clients through pregnancy, when Lyme has been an issue before, and there's not a lot you can do in terms of herbs and things like that, but we can do quite high levels of chlorella. So that's something that I did throughout pregnancy. Obviously, I took an amazing probiotic. I think I took Megaspore at the time. I did the Seeking Health prenatal multivitamin, and obviously ate really well. Like, it's really, really important to get really good protein. And I think the most important thing when pregnant is to get really good fats, because your baby's brain is basically fat. So if you want a really clever baby, eat your fat. So that was really, really important to me, obviously. I mean, don't get me wrong. I actually had a really bad sugar cravings during pregnancy. So I did have probably too many chocolate buttons, will admit. I didn't have any like super weird cravings, to be honest, and I was really lucky. I didn't feel nauseous or anything like that. The biggest thing for me was I was very, very anxious during pregnancy. Very anxious. I wasn't actually particularly that fatigued. I actually did pretty well, like better than I ever thought that I would do. The biggest thing for me was anxiety, and I was just kind of caught a little bit unaware, I suppose. And then me being me, I researched everything. So I wanted to, because I didn't really understand much about pregnancy or babies or birth or any of that kind of thing. So I signed up for hypnobirthing, which was amazing. And I met one of my closest friends through hypnobirthing. So I think it's great to learn hypnobirthing, but you also meet people, which was brilliant. Because I didn't, apart from like me and my sister were pregnant at the exact same time. It was very strange. But there was no one else around me that was pregnant or had babies. Like, I was one of the first out of all my friends. So I didn't really have anybody around to ask or who I'd watched go through this. So I did hypnobirthing. So my husband and I went to the classes, and that was amazing. And they just kind of teach you different breathing techniques, and they talk you through what kind of birth that you'd like. I wanted a completely natural birth at home. So we went through all the different options, and I decided that I wanted a home birth. Honestly, if I'm being really frank, that was based on I just don't feel necessarily safe in hospitals. I feel a lot more calmer and relaxed at home. I don't feel relaxed in a hospital. So I knew that I wanted to be at home in my own environment with my own things surrounding me. And I knew that I wanted a water birth. So that's what we set up. That was the vision that we had. And then throughout pregnancy, I did visualization. So I was kind of doing affirmations and visualizations for the birth. I was doing yoga for a little bit as well, and just like daily walks and things like that. Obviously, I prayed a lot about the baby and about the birth and all that kind of thing. I also looked into things like placenta encapsulation and delayed cord clamping and things like the vitamin K and all of that kind of thing, which they don't necessarily talk about. Like, I personally did my own research on that. I'm not saying that I'm any kind of professional in this area, by the way. This is just some things that you may want to talk to your midwife about. And they're just extra things that I researched, which I'm really glad that I did actually. And things like skin to skin and all that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, I didn't get the birth that I wanted, but we don't really need to get into that. So he wasn't a natural birth. He ended up as a C-section. And I wanted a natural birth, obviously, so the baby comes down the vaginal canal, they get all the good bacteria, and then breastfeeding adds to the good bacteria, so you've got a baby with a really strong microbiome and really strong gut health. That's why, you know, birth was created the way it's created, for benefit of the mother and benefit of the baby. So when he came out, and obviously he was a C-section, obviously I gave him probiotics from the get-go. Breastfeeding was very, very important to me. Again, for a microbiome perspective and for the bonding and all of that kind of thing. And I just personally think that it's the most natural thing that we can do. So that was very, very important. Thankfully, he did. That wasn't too difficult for me. I did get mastitis at one point, but generally our breastfeeding journey was pretty good. I fed him till he was one. So that was all good. I also did... I did tell you for this, sir. Thanks, Fudge. We also did placenta encapsulation after he was born. So someone comes to the hospital, takes your placenta away. I don't really know what they do, but they put it into capsules. And this was also, nobody understood why I wanted to do this. But it's done in other cultures. And for the iron, you know, for all the goodness that's in the placenta, I wanted that. And I don't know, because I've never had another baby, so I can't compare it to anything, but I personally think that my energy was more balanced. I think on that day 5 when your milk comes in, I don't think I was too horrendously affected by that. I personally do feel like I benefited from placenta encapsulation, and if I ever did have another baby, which I'm not planning on doing, I would definitely do it again. I do talk to other people about it. I don't actually, there's very few people I actually know who've done it. No one really in my life wants to encapsulate their own placenta, but it's been done before, and they do it in other cultures, so I was pretty interested, so maybe just research it. I thought it was really cool. I think like when he was born, we did skin to skin for hours, days. I just went on and on and on, like that connection with your baby, like the skin to skin, because it's the baby's been born. Unfortunately for my son, he was born in bright lights, loads of people. Even if you think about a baby, it's never been touched before. It doesn't even know what that feeling's like, let alone light and loud noises and things like that. So we brought him home, and I personally vouch for not leaving the house for 2 weeks, hibernating. I think it's in China that they, like, the woman is cared for 40 days, that she doesn't do anything. The like grandparents of the baby will like cook and clean, and all the women in that woman's life will all like rally around her basically for 40 days, and she won't do anything. She will literally just feed her baby, rest, sleep when baby sleeps, etc. I mean, I'm like, okay, great, let's do that. I'm not really one for going out for lunch on like day 4 after you've had a baby. I think you need to rest. I think you need to hibernate. I think you need to be bonding with your baby. This is just my personal opinion. Okay, everyone can do what they like. But again, from researching, from looking at what nature, the wisdom from nature, I think that's probably best for everybody. And that's personally what we did. So I had a week in bed and I had a week on the sofa downstairs. I think it was longer than 2 weeks, I think, before we actually left the house with him. And we are lucky we did have family who were cooking for us. Our church cooked for us every single day for 2 weeks. That was amazing. Like, it was like takeaways every single night. Every night somebody would come with a different meal for the evening. That was amazing. Such a blessing. So, so thankful for that still. And really how the community really cared for us when we had our baby. So that was amazing. So you can also like batch cook a load of food, stick it in the freezer for when the baby's here. But even just asking for help, like asking people to do your washing for you, like your laundry or whatever. Or if you have other children, maybe just asking people to care for your other child just for a few weeks whilst you just kind of go over that newborn phase. But I was never afraid to ask for help from whether that be family or friends or our community. So I think that also was really, really helpful when we had a newborn baby. And again, I personally think that's how the whole like community idea is designed, so that we can care for one another and love one another and serve one another. I also, like, if we move into kind of the baby section, I am a big believer of routine. I'm a very strong believer of routine. Like, I would be a baby massage and then the girls would be like, okay, we're gonna go and get coffee, and I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna go home because he needs to have his sleep. And that was a personal choice that I made. And I do believe that he was a very content baby, probably because of that. He was always a great sleeper. And the way that I describe it to people is, if you woke up tomorrow and you had no idea what that day planned was, you had no idea what you were going to do that day, someone else was completely in control of your day. You don't know what time you were going to eat. You don't know what time you were going to have any time to sit down. You don't know what you were going to do that entire day. Someone else was completely in charge of your day and you had no idea what was coming next. I think you'd feel quite stressed. And I personally think it's the same with babies, is that they like, well, the nervous system likes that habit and that routine of Noah's nervous system knew, okay, well, around this time she's going to put me for a sleep, and then around this time she's going to feed me, and then after I've had that, she's probably going to we're probably going to go and do this, or we're probably going to go for a walk, and I wake around this time. And it has that regularity to it, and it allows the body to feel safe even from such a young age. I actually think it's more important as a baby than maybe it is as an adult. And it just, so I think he's always felt very safe and secure, and his nervous system has felt quite settled. And that's the way personally that I look at it. And even now, we are quite a routine family. And even now, like, he's going to school and we still have a very solid routine. I personally, like, I copy Brené Brown's quote, which is, routine will set you free. And if you have a routine, it just means that you know what's coming next, you know what's happening, you know what the boundaries are, and everyone's happier. I personally believe that's just, again, just my personal opinion. So I do vouch for babies having a routine, personally. Weaning, maybe again, this needs to be another different podcast episode. I weaned him maybe a little bit. I think he was maybe started having bits when he maybe was 5 months old, five, six, around that time. Obviously, everything was completely natural. I think we started with oats and breast milk, maybe, and then kind of went into like mashed bananas and mashed avocados and things like that. But obviously, I've cooked everything for him. We did occasionally use like the Ella's Kitchen pouches and things like that, but very, very rarely. But it would all be organic if we wanted to do that. And again, everything that we've tried to feed him when weaning was, we tried to do as much organic as possible. He's never really had gluten. He's never really had dairy. He has bits and pieces, but it's not definitely something, like, I didn't kind of go in there with like a Weetabix and cow's milk. I personally, again, think there's a lot of children out there who've got skin problems, asthma, eczema, gut issues, who again have been around doctors and consultants and everything. No one really knows what's going on. I would look at the diet. You know, I'd look at how as humans we were designed to eat. As babies, their digestion is not set up like an adult's digestion is. They can't necessarily process things as well. So you want to give them a diet which is as close to nature and as close to how the human body knows how to function as possible. You know, if we're giving our kids really processed foods, the body has no idea what to do with that. So if your child's struggling with anything, I would probably look at their diet. And maybe what we've been taught is a perfectly healthy diet for a child maybe isn't. And yeah, don't get me started on children's menus. That's not what kids should be eating. So that's kind of the way. So everything's been like incredibly natural, the way that we've obviously fed him. And now he eats with us. My personal opinion is he doesn't get another choice. He eats what we eat. And that's, I'm not cooking like numerous amounts of meals. And kids do what you do, not what you tell them to do. So kids are not going to eat their vegetables if they don't see you eating vegetables, and they're not going to have smoothies if they don't see you having smoothies. So that's really something that I constantly think. Kids don't do what you tell them. Kids do what you do. It's the language that we use. It's the lifestyles that we live. Our kids are watching us very, very closely and they will copy us. So no pressure. I definitely feel a lot of pressure with that one. But I really do believe that to be true. As parents, it's such a big responsibility to raise these little people. So, another element of children's like nervous system that I've looked into is trauma, whether that be the birth or whether that be us as parents. If we're holding any trauma, what are we then kind of passing on to them? Like if we're constantly in a state of being frantic, being stressed, being burnt out, just at a loose end all the time, they're going to pick up on that. They're incredibly intuitive. Children are very, they pick up on anything. So they'll pick up on anything within the house and your mood, and especially during pregnancy. Again, no pressure. But I think, you know, if we've had a very stressful pregnancy, we dump that cortisol within the baby. So there's so many things to be aware of during pregnancy, after, you know, after birth, and then also raising these children. So we try and, in the home, we try and be as calm as possible. Our lifestyle, we try and like live our lifestyle around that. We try not to take on too much, or our work commitments and things like that. We try and keep things as calm as possible for ourselves, but also for our child at the same time. Even like what they watch, I don't think this gets talked about enough. I think we just kind of throw anything on the TV for them. You know, if it's a PG film, then it must be okay. I personally don't subscribe to that. I think, again, you know, what our children are listening to, watching to, is also affecting their nervous systems. So, you know, if they're constantly playing video games, which are really scary, or seeing older siblings, or watching films that are really scary, or TV programs, or whatever it might be, their nervous system's going to pick up on that. And from the age of 0 to 7, they're forming their beliefs around the world. So do we want them to believe that the world is a beautiful, abundant place, or do we want them to start believing that the world's actually a very scary place? I don't know. There's no right answer. That's just something else to kind of, that I've given a lot of thought to. And what they are exposed to is obviously going to be a part of how they form and see the world. I think what we really try and instill is positivity and independence and knowing a place within the family. I personally, again, like from reading, I feel like children do really well if they know their place within the family. And their purpose within the family. You know, our son has little jobs. I'm not afraid to give him jobs. I don't care if he's 4. He has a place within this family. He has a role within this family. Again, just to make them feel really secure and safe and a part of something, not on the outside. They're definitely, he's a part of what we do every day. And encourage that independence so that they can build up their confidence, I suppose. And I guess it's interesting that I'm having this solo episode now. You know, he's about to go to school. That was a whole different kind of ball game. We've looked at different options for his schooling. Again, I think it all comes down to the influences and the nervous system and things like that. Like, we looked at obviously mainstream school, but we looked at homeschooling and comparing the two. We have decided at this point that we're going to send him to school. I have some concerns about that, but I'll keep those to myself at the moment. And I just hope that he settles really, really well. But I do ultimately believe that the family has the biggest influence over a child, in terms of values and beliefs and those kinds of things. If we, you know, again, are living that through and witnessing that to them on a daily basis. You know, at the end of the day, they're only at school for 6 hours a day. So I think he will really love that. And it's taken, like, it feels like a new season from being pregnant, going through the pregnancy, birth, learning everything about that, all the things that we did after birth, all the, you know, caring for the baby, weaning, just kind of going through all the terrible twos and the trying threes and potty training and all these things, all the books that we read, all the conversations we have with other parents, all the love that we try and give them, the building up that we try and do. And then, you know, we're at this place now where he's going to enter the schooling system, which is really exciting for him. It does feel like a different chapter that we're about to go into. So yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? But I wanted to do this solo episode because I think I come at motherhood maybe from a slightly different angle, definitely from a more holistic and natural approach. I think I've just tried to parent him as close to nature as possible, and what I believe, how I believe the family is, was originally set up, and how the family would naturally function outside of society norms, societal norms I can't be doing with. And I don't think that's necessarily something I want to instill within him. So, but again, it's about me figuring out my values, my husband figuring out his values, and then collectively as a family, what those values are. And there's so much to learn. You know, we're only at very, very early on in this. I'm definitely not here trying to give advice. I'm definitely just here to just say, maybe there's other things that we can think about. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? I've kind of, if you're pregnant at the moment listening to this podcast, you know, I've kind of walked this path for 4 years now. And so with that, you do gain knowledge and wisdom on things you've done wrong and things you've done really well. There's definitely a lot of things that I would have done wrong. I think if maybe I was having him now, I think I would have done the pregnancy and I would have done the birth very, very, very differently. But, you know, there's no point dwelling on the past. So it is what it is. But we can just learn from it and move forwards. So if anything jumps out in this episode, please let me know. Let me know what resonated with you. Share it with a friend if you know anyone who's pregnant or in those early weeks, months of motherhood. If there's anything you disagree with, I'm open to hearing about that, of course. I'm just happy to chat about anything. So please share this, like it, subscribe if you're interested in hearing more of these solo episodes. But that is my ramble for the day. Also, do remember that this is the last week to sign up for the Up Level and Energize course. So it's a 10-week online course and we're starting on the 12th of September. So places are closing soon. So the doors are going to close and we go through 10 weeks of different topics. So we've got nutrition simplified, we've got a gut masterclass, hormone masterclass, immune health, you name it. I've delivered it because I've done the research. I know exactly what people are missing. So I've put it all into a 10-week course to deliver to these amazing women. So the place is nearly full. There's only a couple spots left. You'll have your own little portal that you can log into and go through it in your own time. We've got live Q&As. If you get stuck with anything, you can have my support. And there's a little goodie bag that I'm going to be posting this week. So if you feel like that maybe resonates with you, if you're fed up with your periods, if your gut is always a problem, if you're low in energy, low in motivation, you're not sleeping properly, you just don't know what to do, but you don't know who to trust and you don't know where to turn, pop over to Instagram, come and have a chat with me, and we'll figure out if it's maybe the right thing for you, or drop me an email, whatever feels best for you. But I'm super, super excited for that on the 12th of September. So come and join us. But otherwise, thank you so much for listening. Please like it. Please share with a friend. Please subscribe. And I will see you guys next week.